Living on the road, my friend.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Friday. What do we do? Appreciate it. 251-343-0106. Keep the text coming, guys. That's the best way to get in touch with the program. I will respond accordingly, but we'll have some time to clear some of these out. Keep them rolling in. So to come on the program from 1819 News, Will Blakely will be with us. News Talk 93.1's April Murray Fogle, our usual Friday guest. And then finally, we'll close it out with our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott of Baldwin County. Joining us now, however, very pleased to bring on my next guest, House Majority Leader Nathaniel Ledbetter on the line here. Leader, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Jeff. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Thanks for making time for us. Busy, busy man. Catch us up on what you've been up to during this this off season, if you will.
Well, I don't know if it's been much of an off season. I mean, we've, of course, election cycle went through the primaries with a number of our members and new candidates and open seats. So we've been working on that. Of course, we've traveled the state, helping some of those folks raise money and trying to get to all the locations that we need to be to support them. And this went very well. We've had a good primary, and I think we got 38 races this fall with the Libertarian candidates that's qualified. So we're busy working those. I've been back and forth to Montgomery a number of times with fundraisers and set up meetings with the candidates that's going to have an opponent this fall, all opponents this fall. And so put a lot of miles on our truck and continue to do so, but I feel good about where we're at.
Well, especially down my way, Baldwin County, we have some freshmen, but you got a lot of turnover this coming up quadrennium. How do you feel about this new class of incoming freshman lawmakers?
I'm excited about it. And of course, Baldwin County has had a tremendous representation with Shiver and McMillan and Faust retirement. And of course, unfortunately, Steve's illness and we continue to pray for his family and his passing. We've got some people coming in down there. I think it's going to do a great job. I mean, Donna Givens, and Francis Holt, and Jennifer Fiddler have been very impressive to me. And of course, I've known Donna for a long time, and she brings a wealth of knowledge to being involved in the community. And Francis and her business background, and I think Jennifer's got a multitude of experience with a municipal and different government. So I'm excited for them, excited for us. I mean, I think they're going to bring a lot to the table, and we'll use a lot of years of institutional knowledge down there. But the energy that I see that all of these women are going to be very strong, and they're excited and ready to get started. And that's the way it is all across the state. I mean, we've got good people coming in. I could name a dozen of them. Of course, you got Mark Shire down there in Mobile that's going to be taking Dr. Gaston's place. It's going to be a good member. Of course, again, you lose a lot of knowledge there, but Mark is energetic and going to learn and very smart guy. So I think we can look at the members across the state, and it's a very good freshman class that's going to be coming in.
You got any tough races? This is something that's always intrigued me. I mean, a lot of these are pretty cut and dried the way they're going to go. You have a lot of incumbents that are going to do well there. But are there any that for those of us listening, I guess, need to be aware of that could go that the Democrats? I don't think the Libertarians are going to have any opening, but that you're concerned about.
Yeah, there is. I mean, last time when we ran races in the fall, our goal was we had a saying, said win them all in the fall. We'd like to do that this time. And certainly last time we were fortunate enough to pick up five seats, which was a gain that nobody expected. But this time we've got three seats. It'd be very challenging. Two of them in the Madison County area, and then one of them in Montgomery area. So we'll work those, we've got them kind of in our mind and with the folks that's helping us kind of 1, 2, 3, which races we think will be the toughest. But I think, there's been a lot of growth in Madison County, and it's changed that some, plus the redistricting affected it some, but it was largely due to the growth up there. And, it's there's some of those seats are more purple now than they were. So we'll continue to work those hard. A back ball seat being one of them. Yeah, the speaker seat that he is in now is going to be a more challenging this year. I think we'll be good in that one, but we got to watch it. And then the one in Montgomery with Charlotte Motors, I feel really good about that one now. I think we've got a great opportunity. It kind of, you know, things have fallen in line for us, and I feel good about our opportunity to win it.
Let's move on to, I guess, 2023. It seems like forever away, but the way these things go, next thing you know, it's Christmas, and then the session's right around the corner. I guess a lot of what you're doing right now, there's still some things going on with the budget hearings and what to do with the surplus and a lot of those discussions ongoing right now. How much of that is really, how much of that activity have you been involved in?
Well, I've stayed in contact with, you know, folks at, like Chairman Garrett and some of those people, and he's talked to me about where we're at and what you're seeing, and so we've certainly been engaged in what we're looking at with that. Kirk Fulford has kind of kept us up to par on what's going on, so I think this will be a very good budget year for us. The only thing that you got to worry about is what's behind it. You know, with inflation being at the rate it is and things going like they are in the country, you got to worry about, making sure that the next 2 or 3 years we have money to operate. I know we got a surplus now, but a lot of that's due to the fact that the federal government dumped $60 billion into the state. So we got to be cautious about that, be mindful. I think Chairman Garrett had called me the week before last now about maybe giving some money back to taxpayers, which I think is a great idea. And I know Chairman Orr has also been talking about that. And I think last year we cut some $160 million in taxes. And I hope we'll be able to do some more this year. But doing that too, we've got to be mindful that we've got to be looking for the future and making sure that, you know, if we are able to put money back in case of any shortfalls, just like you do with your home or your business, you got to put money back in case you have something happen. I mean, if you have a leak on your roof in your house, you got to have money put back to try to repair it. Or if you lose a vehicle at your business that you need to replace. So I think we got to do the same thing. It's just a matter of budgeting smart and being conservative. And I think for the most part, the body has done that. I'd have to give them accolades to that. I think we've, been able to accomplish some things in the last few years. It's been good for the state, and hopefully we'll continue to look at the budget process in that manner.
Well, those inflation concerns, it's going to cost more just to do business in the state, one would assume. How much of that is on your mind? Because, I mean, not only is it going to impact the consumer, obviously that is, we're feeling it all right now, but I got to think, looking at state coffers and just knowing that's something you're going to probably have to deal with sooner rather than later.
Well, it is. I mean, and we will see it in the budget. I mean, we got as many vehicles as the state does on the road, thousands of vehicles, and fuel prices being inflated like they have been over the past year. We're certain we'll see that in the budget. You're going to see overruns of projects that's been going on. I know one in particular that sticks in my mind is, you know, they've been working on the VA hospital there in Dothan, and I know there's been a pretty significant amount of overruns just due to the fact of the supply and demand of materials that they were needing, and also the cost of materials has gone up so high. I mean, when you was able to buy a two before for $3 before this, it goes to 10, and you got, you know, there's some issues there. And thankfully, some of that's come back down, but we still see it in plumbing and electrical, and we'll see it in projects that we're working on or maintenance that we're doing across the state. So that certainly will be something that will be looked at.
Joined by House Majority Leader Nathaniel Ledbetter here on the program. Always a pleasure to have him on. Leader, I guess looking at 2023 and beyond, is it going to be a lot of the same things you're dealing with, you've dealt with in the past, I should say? We're going to have another gaming discussion probably. Obviously, the ARPA money's outstanding, and that looks to me like that's going to be dealt with probably early on in 2023. But a lot of these battles you're fighting, They seem to kind of be the same ones you've been fighting for a while now.
Yeah, I think we'll see some of the same things. I mean, I think we'll work on some issues that's pressing for the state, and certainly the ARPA funds is something that we've been able to put in locations to try to invest in the state, and that's going to be our goal going forward. I think we're seeing significant improvements in broadband, and noticed if we continue down the road in 6 more years, we could just about fill up the deserts of broadband we have in our state, and hopefully we can continue to do that. You know, our water and sewer in our areas, as far as the state of Alabama, we've had a lot of issues there, and we're able to put $200 million in that last year through ADIM, and hope we can do that, put more money in it again. So we'll continue that. You know, we got the education issues that we've got to continue to look at. We've got to improve our education system in our state. And I think at the end of the session, Senator Schofield, myself, co-chaired a committee of 8 House and 8 Senate members of both Republican and Democratic members, and was able to move the needle on several pieces of legislation I think is going to be positive for education. So I'm excited about that. You know, we'll continue to work on mental health. I think we've made a huge stride in that, but we always have got a ways to go. Our rural hospitals, we got to look at rural health care and what we can do to make sure that we maintain and keep health care in rural areas. So there will be a lot of the same challenges, I think. I think we've made some strides in some areas that we have been working on, and some of the things that we've been trying to look at and fix, it didn't happen overnight. We're not going to fix it overnight, but I do think we've made progress.
We think we're going to see the, some of the things you guys did this last quadrennium, Numeracy Act, Literacy Act, that we're finally going to see some improvement, because that's the one thing that, if you look at, since Republicans have taken control of the legislature in 2011, that's the one thing that's sort of been the most elusive, right? Getting schools up and we're, I guess, at a satisfactory level.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, we've got to continue to work on that. I think the Numeracy Act, Literacy Act will both improve those things. I think, you know, keeping educators in classrooms that's got the experience and the know-how to educate our children is certainly something that we tried to do this last session. And, you know, the TEAMS Act that we passed 2 years ago now, I think is important because we had a shortage in math and science teachers. So I think that's going to help with that. I think we had legislation. We didn't get it through this year, got out of the House. It just fell short. We went ahead and funded it. So they'll start it. Putting an aid in K-3 for the failure for underperforming schools. And I think we'll see a significant change with that. I think that's one of the things that we've needed the whole time. And hopefully we can continue, if our budgets are strong, to expand that not only in underperforming schools, but in schools across the state. But I do think that makes a difference because, you know, we've for years had the number one pre-K program in the country. I mean, so what are we losing? I mean, we're losing something from pre-K to third and fourth grade. So I think it's important to do that. And I think it's important to continue to look at school choice. I mean, you know, we've done that some with AA. We have done it some with charter schools. And, you know, those areas that it fits. There's areas that don't need it. So, I mean, particular school system is different. I know in my area, I mean, they do a great job. We've got great schools and certainly see them rank in a good place in the state. So, you know, those schools are operating in a way that I think that it's good for the kids. So we got to figure out what's good for the kids in every part of the state. And I think continuing to work on it and knowing that it's there and some of the things that we've done and already started, I think we're going to see a difference.
Get you out of here on this, Leader. You mentioned health care. The state is going to, I assume, look at something on that front. But what do you think? I've heard everything from Medicaid expansion, or it's just maybe some standalone emergency clinics. The rural hospital problem is something a lot of people like to bring up. Well, what can the state do to improve the healthcare situation in Alabama?
Well, I think there are some things we can do, and I had a meeting just this week on it, and I think we can look at the way some of them is categorized and maybe, you know, some of the problem is that the state and some of these hospitals are not being refunded the full amount on some of their insurance plans and some of the Medicaid plans. So I think certainly looking at that and meeting with everybody and kind of seeing what we can do, there's some talk about maybe moving the how they're described as far as the reimbursements for a period of time that could help those. So I think that's important. I've had a chance to sit down and meet with the CFO and the CEO of St. Vincent's, and they're doing some models on some of their rural areas where they've got healthcare facilities, and they're changing the model some, and it seems to be positive. I think, Jeff, really and truly, what we got to do is get everybody at the table and look and see what's going to be positive and working. You know, the expansion of Medicaid scares me from the standpoint of, you know, we know how much it went up. When I first went in the office, we've seen every year incremental huge increases in that in our budgets, and it hadn't been as much in the last couple of years, but there for a couple of years it would go up $50 million one year, and it just continued to rise. And so I think we got to be cautious about that, because what will happen if it's all thrown on the taxpayer's lap, then we'll wind up not being able to fund everything we need to fund. So I do think that there has to be some adjustments, and I think there's ways to do it. There's some smart people that's been studying it that we can look at doing some things to get reimbursements back to these hospitals they hadn't been getting. I think that's important. So we'll look at that and continue to work on it, and I think we can have a positive outcome.
Leader, we appreciate your time. Hopefully, things slow down a little bit for you here. It's at least for time for football season, but we'll get you on again soon. Stay safe out there.
Well, that sounds good. Next time, Jeff, let's talk about football. Maybe something people would say. Yeah, that'd be good. I know. I mean, you had back last year, I think, when Auburn was doing so well, we talked about basketball. So maybe we have an episode about football, see how that goes.
I look forward to it. Hopefully, there's something good to talk about. I suspect for you Alabama fans, there will be. All right, leader, we got to go. But thanks for making time for us. We'll talk again soon. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FN Talk 106.5.